Have you been wondering if you might could look at your data with a different eye? Then data analytics is the tool you need to put in your digital toolbox. But what obstacles do you have to steer clear of, and what resources does it take to implement? What does the future hold for data analytics, and is it really for everyone? You're listening to Competencies in Tech, a podcast from DTU Compute.
Not all companies are at the same level when it comes to data and being able to use the data for the purpose that we would like to use it for.
This is Murat Kolaci, and he's a professor of the Department of Applied Mathematics and Computer Science at DTU Compute. What is data analytics?
It's composed of activities and tools to convert data into value. We convert data into information, and then information into knowledge, and knowledge into insightful decisions. And there lies the value. I'm working with refineries. We work with the in predictive maintenance. We work with energy companies. We work with the railway maintenance issues. We work with toy manufacturers. We work with the dairy producers. We work with the pharmaceutical companies. In any industry, in any company, if you have data, you would need these tools that we're offering to get the value out of the data. And these days, everybody's producing a lot of data.
So how can companies or organizations use production analytics, and how would it make a difference?
When we use data analytics towards production to solve production-related problems, that's when I call it production analytics in general. Then the question would be, what would be the goals of production? It could be, it could vary from increasing the quality, increasing productivity, increasing throughput, lowering cost, lowering waste. So basically, with data analytics or production analytics, what we try to do is get more with less from the production. And coming back to your question, what companies can do is what I just said in a general sense, but there will be specific production-related problems, and we can use tools for that. The activities that we have in general will fall into two categories. The way I see it is an offline category and online category, like real-time applications. And it's usually application-driven. It's not theory-driven, but application-driven. So there is a neat problem to be solved, and we try to find the right tool for that. So the offline activities, the way I see it, is we are given the data, we try to figure something out, whatever the problem-related issues, certainly. But there, the activities are done as the process is going on, but offline. And they can involve, for example, activities like understanding the process. And that is, I think, the biggest difference between production analytics and any other data analytics activity in another field like social media, healthcare, or finance. There is a very well-defined structure in production, and there's an engineering knowledge.
And to better understand a well-defined structure, Murat Kolaci explains it with a cup of tea.
When I make a cup of tea, I don't put any leaves. I put a specific leaf in my cup. I don't put any liquid, I put water. I don't put water at any temperature, I put it at a certain temperature. And I put milk as well, but that's my taste. So, and then I drink it. That's the product. So the raw materials are water and tea leaves, and the outcome is the tea. So I have an understanding of it. Similarly, in production as well, we have an understanding. Raw materials do not magically produce the products. There's a physics behind it, there are first principle-based models behind the production. So they produce the output. Well, we are not always successful at getting the best outcome. That's why we need maybe support of the data analytics. That's where we come into play.
Are there any barriers, for successful implementation of production analytics?
Certainly there are. There is a report by McKinsey and in the Innovations Fund in 2019 about the use of AI in Denmark. And when they cited the barriers, of course, there are different barriers for different industries, certainly, but within industry as well, depending on the type of company that you're dealing with, usually the size matters in this case. If it's a big company, they already have established data science group, for example. But the SMEs, small to medium-sized enterprises, they will have a hard time to allocate funding for that. So it depends on the company type, but usually the barriers, the biggest barriers that we've seen, we don't have enough work people in the workforce, current workforce, trained by the methods, production analytics methods or machine learning methods or AI, however you want to put it. And we're working towards it, certainly everybody, including industry and on our side as well, at the universities, we're working towards that. The other issue they talk about is funding. I can see the problem with the SMEs not enough funding. But funding, I always thought is a bit academic. We complain about lack of funding. In business, is usually businesses are result driven. So if you could get a few cases under our belt, successful cases under our belt, I think the funding will come along if you could demonstrate that we are successful. So those things aside, that were kind of common things, that it's a bit more higher level things than what I deal with. In a more specific sense, the biggest problem that I have, the biggest barrier that I have, we have is data readiness of the companies. And when it comes to data readiness, I mean data acquisition issues, data accessibility issues, data management, security, moving data from one platform to the IT infrastructure, for example. Not all companies are at the same level when it comes to data and being able to use the data for the purpose that we would like to use it for.
And what does that kind of barrier mean for a company?
It means the delay in success, delay in the implementation of the potential outcome, and delay in resolving the problems, right? So that's, otherwise it doesn't mean anything else but time. But of course, time is money and then costly.
Of course.
So we had cases where we're talking about SMEs, for example, small to medium-sized enterprises. And the biggest thing they said, well, we would like to do this thing, but some of the data we have is handwritten. Somebody has to get that data from there to here, and we don't have the workforce for it. Then just that on arrival, right? Because we cannot even start the project. We don't have the data. This comes up at different levels for different companies. Less of a concern for bigger companies because they establish their big databases and accessibility is also almost always okay. We can access the data. Then there are other issues with big companies, but small companies usually, small to medium-sized companies, usually this data readiness is the biggest hurdle for us. Nothing that we cannot overcome, but just time, matter of time, basically.
What resources does it take to implement data analytics?
It usually depends on the company. Large companies already have what they call data historians, right? They collect the big data warehouses, if you think about it that way. So the data is sort of available. We don't have to worry about it. Usually they have a very strong IT departments, the big companies. So accessibility of data is okay as well. And then engineers as well in between kind of dealing with, for example, if I'm the data analyst, if I'm the data scientist dealing with it, so they will usually be, because I'm the, if it's not too ambitious to call myself problem solver, but the engineer is the problem owner. But the data owner is the IT person nowadays particularly. So it usually goes, I ask, the engineer comes with the problem, we discuss, and then the engineer asks the IT. And then we look at the data, IT folks provide the data, and then we look at the data and we realize, oh, the data does not contain what we are looking for. So what should we do? The information, there's always information in data, but not the relevant information to solve that particular production problem. So what do? We collect more data. It's a bit of a, we already have too much data, why do you ask more? Okay, but we collect more data. But how do we collect more data? Well, we have to put more sensors, right? Data collection devices. So then sensorics, engineers have to figure out, I can just say, well, measure the temperature of this process right here. They say, it is not possible. We cannot do it. We cannot drill things and put thermocouple. We cannot do it. It's not possible. Okay, what else can we do? Since I don't know the process, a person who's knowledgeable in the process and the sensors, how to collect data, has to be involved. So the reason I'm saying this, data analytics or production analytics is not a one person or one type of, does not involve just one type of skill. So I can analyze data. They're all numbers to me. But if you want to solve production problems, it has to involve IT, sensors folks, engineers, and the data scientists. Now, that's a luxury that we can have in big companies. But in smaller companies, we don't have SMEs. We don't have that. They have an IT person, not department necessarily, but maybe a few people. But then the engineers may need to do the data science as well. So now we have to train the engineers to a level where they can take care of the data and analyze the data as well. If you move the data scientist as a separate person, and the engineers can also handle the sensorics issues as well. But so it is a multidisciplinary, it has to be a multidisciplinary approach for components that I pointed out. And then in small companies, we have to combine these roles. And then comes operational issues, because sometimes we offer a solution and they say, well, it's a fantastic solution, but we cannot implement it. Operation is not feasible. It's going to cost us more to implement what you're suggesting than we can make out of. So somebody from operations management discipline has to be there to kind of put everything together and make it feasible, the implementation feasible as well.
So what does the future hold for data analytics? Murat Kolacci would rather not make a concrete bid, because there may be, in a figurative sense, certain toes out there that can be stepped on. But there's one thing Murat Kolacci is pretty sure of. He's worried. And to outline his concern, we'll need to look at the data and the data usage in the past.
These movements, this kind of attraction towards data and use of data, it is nothing new. Now we have more data. That's why it's more relevant, so to speak. But it has been the case as a statistician. It has been the case. It goes up and down, different quality movements in the past. In the 70s, in the 80s, you have total quality management. It goes down, and then Six Sigma comes up and goes down. So all these things go up and down. And you look at the history. Why does it happen that way? Well, usually those things come into like a frenzy, like, oh, we have to use it. We have to do something. And for businesses, unfortunately, it comes in the form of, oh, most likely my competitor is using it. I'm not. I'm going to be behind. So let's do something. I've heard cases. So that's why I wanted to be very careful in my answer. Cases where let's have a AI department. Why? We don't know why, but let's have it, because then we can claim that we do have AI department. We're doing machine learning. We're doing all big data stuff, digitalization, all these things. So I'm not saying they're not sincere in there, but there is this worry that I have, because I've seen in the past these movements go up and then up in flames and disappear, because we don't use the right tools. We don't do the right things. Everything has requirements behind it. So you have to lay down the foundation strong enough so that you can stand up tall. Otherwise, it falls down. And then when it falls down, the problem is, I give this example. As a statistician, I would just go, we should use this for your case to a company. And they say, oh, we tried it. It doesn't work. I know deep down there is no way that it does not work. You failed it because you didn't do maybe the right way. So as a statistician, now I'm not starting from zero. I'm starting from negative. Because now I have to pull them, convince them that, trust me, it's going to work this time. So I'm really worried about the fact that this frenzy is going to go into a direction where we may not be able to recover, and everybody's going to do it, but there's not going to be in a more methodological way or a standard way. So it can cause trouble. And another issue from my professional perspective, my profession, everybody's a data scientist. Because there is no data scientist degree, I cannot claim I'm a mechanical engineer, because mechanical engineering is a degree. You go 4 years, 5 years, you get the degree and you come out. You have the diploma to show for it. There is no data science degree yet. There are departments popping up here and there. So now, if you model something, if you dealt with a big data once or twice, then you are a data scientist. But these things are very intricate. Particularly, the more complex these models get, the more complex the problems that we deal with, the more difficult to figure out how to do these things. At least from my perspective, I'll be very, very worried about we'll try this. Let me see. Let me understand the problem. Let me understand the assumptions behind it, and maybe see I can find this tool or that tool or something else. People doing it a very nonchalant way, kind of, oh, yeah, let's do this. They try it, and I'm a data scientist. So I'm worried the direction that it's taking, because there's a frenzy right now out there. So, but that's the worry that I have from my perspective. Otherwise, everything is besides that issue, I can see the in industry particularly, we start seeing some success stories. As I said before, with those success stories come more trust, more belief. And related to my first worry, if you start seeing bad cases, then that trust may be shaken. We have to avoid that. We have to do this thing right. Otherwise, it can go in the wrong direction.
And what is right in your perspective if we look into the future?
I think I'll quote one of my mentors from US, George Box. We have to understand that all models are wrong. Some are useful. And in data analysis, most of the time, all we do is model reality. But that's all you have. You have an approximation of the true thing. And there is also the danger of falling in love with your model, the Pygmalion, this architect from Cyprus, or Pinocchio, Geppetto's story. So there is that problem as well. So sometimes I see people having a hammer and looking for a nail. And if they see a screw, they try to still hammer it down. So the right tools for the right problems. And unfortunately, it is so case specific. It is tough to say, oh, this tool will be good for this. This, it depends on the problem that you're dealing. It depends on the data that you're dealing with. It depends on the characteristics of the data that you're dealing with. Then you find the right tool and apply it. And convey the message that the tool, the method, the model that you come up with comes with assumptions. If those assumptions are violated, your model won't function well. So all models are wrong. Some are useful. We understand that we are trying our best to model reality. And what we have is only an approximation.
Du har lyttet til en episode af Kompetencer i Tech, som er produceret af Freja Dam fra Dame Podcast i samarbejde med DTU Compute, eftervidereuddannelse og Tech Kompetenceløftprojektet fra Kom Digital. Du kan lytte til flere episoder af Kompetencer i Tech på DTU Computes hjemmeside, i iTunes, på Spotify og hvor du ellers finder dine podcasts.